Now we will begin with the tafsir and explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 8 to 10. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. From Ayah 8 onward, we will learn about the third group or third type of people, or you can say this group is part of the second group we learned about. One group we learned about was about the Muttaqeen. They were mentioned in the first five ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah. The second group were those who do not believe and they are disbelievers or kafir. The group of people we will be learning about from ayah 8 to 20 are also not considered those with iman, as they can be subcategorized within the second group called kafir, or in English, disbelievers or non-believers. In Surah At-Taghabun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, He has created all of you, and from you are some who are disbelievers, and from you are believers. So with Allah, there are only two categories of people. The first, who believe, and then the other category is of those who do not believe, and they are the ones called kafir. So the ones in this group are the ones who openly deny and oppose the believers and the message brought by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The group we will be learning about today is about those who call themselves believers, but they are ones with an extremely weak character. For the lowly benefits of things and the lowly benefits of this dunya, they sell the truth. These are the ones who have suppressed their inner voices that testify to the truth. These people have fallen so much in their character that the aqidah or faith they adopted, the Islam they accepted, they did not remain upon it. Due to their inner weakness, they adopted deception and treachery. They will tell other Muslims that they are Muslims. They would say, we believe in Quran and in its guidance. We are with you. But their hearts were filled with opposite of what they showed others. They had disbelief in their hearts and will go to gatherings of disbelievers. Tell them we are with you. These are called munafiq. So we can say the two ayahs were about who openly denied and opposed the truth. And the second group of next 13 ayahs are about those who will walk upon the path of maghdubi alayhim and waladdallin. Both kafir and munafiq. So the first type we know about, who are the ones who openly denied and opposed, and we learn about their worldly punishment, which was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a stamp on their hearts so they never believe. And then the punishment of akhirah will be a painful torment we learned about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took their ability to believe or be guided. These people are also mentioned in Surah Mutaffifin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rusted their hearts because of what they did and what they earned. No one can question and say that it's not their fault that they were not guided. Rather, this is because every sin has a punishment. And when a person keeps increasing in sins and opposes the truth and persists stubbornly upon it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers their hearts with rust, so they never believe. Because of their evil doings, they lost their ability. This is a summary of the last two ayahs. In the next ayah, ayah 8, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And from the mankind, or people, are those who say, what do they say? آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. We believe in Allah and in the last day. So from the people, there are some. It could have said, from Muslims are some, as they call themselves Muslims, and they had recited the kalima, and would pray. They would not leave praying salah. They would also pray in jama'ah. Nor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, minal mu'mineen, nor minal muslimeen, nor from the believers, and nor from the Muslim. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, minan nas, as near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have no faith or iman. So their faith is rejected. They say with their mouth, we have brought iman in Allah and in the last day. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? What is the decision of Allah about them? It is at the end of the ayah, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. And not at all, they are believers. It could have stated, وَمَا بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, meaning they are not believers, but it states, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. We see emphasis that they are absolutely not, as the B comes for emphasis, or at all believers. So their statement, آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, they're saying this, that we have believed. We learn that one doesn't become a believer just by saying. And it's not necessary that one states, I believe in Allah and the last day, that this will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very dangerous matter. That's why there are 13 ayahs talking about these people. This is a sickness, and such a sickness, if one gets, cannot gain hidayah. As everyone wants to stay healthy and safeguard ourselves from getting any form of illness, and if anyone sees any symptoms of sickness, such as a lump in the body, then they would immediately run to the doctor because they will want to be cured from that illness. In ayah 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls hypocrisy an illness, and there are certain symptoms to know if it is present. Some people say we believe in Allah and the last day and verbally attest to their sincerity of faith. But in reality, their sincerity is for themselves and not for deen. They live to fulfill their own purpose and adopt a superficial relationship with deen. They consider themselves very smart because they have some sort of relationship with deen, so they are considered religious or pious. Then they follow dunya and everything to gain its successes. They do not like to face any losses in dunya because of deen. This is a sickness, and we will look at its symptoms a little later. At the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca, there were no munafiq, and there were only believers and disbelievers. So how did this hypocrisy come about? We will learn a little bit about its history. In Mecca, whoever accepted Islam knew it was not going to be a bed of roses for them. So whoever accepted Islam knew about its consequences, the abuse and the torture they would have to endure, and the problems and the hardships they would have to face. So accepting Islam at that time was basically inviting trouble for yourself. So there were no munafiq there, only true believers and disbelievers. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, here Muslims established their own state. And when the first battle, the Battle of Badr, was fought, Muslims were victorious. Then some people got scared and saw Muslims were gaining victory and thought, what would happen to them? In their hearts, there was no Islam, nor any sincerity for Muslims, nor had any understanding of Islam. They just recited the kalima to save their life and save themselves from future losses. They considered their own safety, so accepted Islam. If you look today, why do people incline towards non-Muslims? They want to dress like them, take on their names, learn their ways to blend in, so they stay safe. Because today, they are on the top, and they have the upper hand. So they keep ties with them, so when the time comes, they can say, we are like them, and we are with them. We dress like them, we live lives like them, even though the stamp of Islam is with them, as being born Muslims, so they can't do anything about that. So they try to mix in with non-Muslims, so they can gain all the benefits. Some people in Medina at that time felt the same way. When they saw Islam gaining victory, they wanted to gain benefit from the emerging power, so they accepted Islam. Every period has these type of people who say salam to the rising sun, whoever is gaining power. There are many other examples in today's time have this type of psychology. They are strong-willed and never leave. Whether they face ups and downs, loss or benefit, no matter what happens. Then there are some who go wherever the tide takes them. Wherever they see the benefit, they run there. At the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these were some who didn't completely understand Islam, but their entire tribe had accepted Islam, so it was only appropriate for them to accept Islam. At that time, whatever the religion the tribe followed, all the other members of the tribe were compelled to follow it. So they didn't understand Islam, but since the entire tribe had accepted, so they were forced to accept it too. As leaders of the tribe, the chief was responsible for making decisions, and everyone in that tribe had to follow. So even if the tribe accepted, then all the people of the tribe would have to follow. So some of them became Muslims this way. This meant they would have to make a lot of sacrifices and give up some of their traditions. They would have to let go of certain friendships and break ties, as the entire society was upon disbelief. This is where they were born and raised, had ties of kinship and relations with people around them. So when they accepted Islam, their life was turned upside down, and the disbelievers they sat with and were in the company of, they thought if they accepted Islam, would have to be part of a different group and leave their friends. This they could not tolerate. So they stayed in the middle. They would continue to keep friendly ties with the disbelievers, and on the other hand, had recited the kalima of Shahada. What should they do? Sacrifices had to be made. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Amanna billahi. They said, we believed. So if they had said, I believe, it would have meant believing individually. But they said, yes, we believed, like everyone else. The we from Amanna tells us lack of inner self-conviction. And they were just tagging along. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes what they say, showing they just want to blend in. You believe in Allah, and so do we. Believe in Allah and the last day. This is for munafiq. This is one explanation. Second explanation is that this ayah refers to the scholars of Yahud. They would say, "We too believe in Allah and the Last Day, but we don't believe in this Prophet. So what if we don't believe in him? We believe in Allah." Just as they say today, "We believe in God and the Day of Judgment." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, "وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ." They are not ones with iman or faith. Their faith is rejected, no matter how much they say with their mouths. This became true for the munafiq at that time. But this applies to certain people in every time period. They are the ones who are out for their own benefit. They will go wherever they benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are not believers. This is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't care what people assert with their tongues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at their deeds. Because when time comes to do anything, these are the people who are not willing and nowhere to be found. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They seek to deceive Allah and the true believers. How do they deceive? Because no one can deceive Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about everything. So why is it said, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ? This is probably because they think they are deceiving and are trying their best to deceive and deceiving those who believe. How do they deceive the believers? Because they think they can superficially show others that they have accepted Islam. So Allah thinks they have believed, and the believers think that they have believed, and think that they are with them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعَرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, they are not deceiving anyone except themselves. Because they think they have the benefit, and they say when time comes to sacrifice, what can we do? Our families are alone and our homes are unprotected. We are not safe. We cannot go to battle with you, O Prophet. Please excuse us. Or some say, we are sick. We cannot go. We have so and so problem. They kept asking the Prophet ﷺ to excuse them. Prophet ﷺ kept excusing them. And they would be so happy thinking that they had tricked the Prophet and got off the hook. And they would say, now we stay in comfort. These Muslims should go and fight. Why should we put ourselves through such trouble? They think that they deceived by lying and by making excuses. But did they deceive Allah and those who believed? Rather, they had deceived themselves. What if they're deceiving themselves? They think that they have deceived Allah and the believers while they have prepared such a huge punishment for themselves. And they think they have saved themselves and benefited and didn't have to go to any battles like the rest of the believers. But they are not in benefit, but in extreme loss because of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about their cunning ways and plots. That what they show are only lies. Then they are making a mockery of themselves. No one can deceive Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveyed this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. The problem of the munafiqeen was that they always try to show themselves as something else. And they thought this would satisfy the Prophet and the believers with their false excuses. And they thought that they could get away with this deception and be saved from going to jihad as the rest of the believers. And they thought no one would know, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the secrets of the heart. Now we will look at the second meaning of يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned here, but anyone who has any consciousness knows no one can deceive Allah, then who were they trying to deceive? They were trying to deceive the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and thought that they could satisfy him too with their excuses, not knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveyed this matter to the Prophet. So if they try to deceive the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are in turn trying to deceive Allah. If we look at the difference between yukhadi'una and yakhda'una, both words mean deceiving, but there is a difference between the both. In yukhadi'una, there is exaggeration. They are trying to deceive Allah, but they deceive only themselves, their own nafs. An example is of a child who tells their parent, "I have done my homework and I have studied for the test," while the child did not. So the child lied. But who is he deceiving in reality? Who will face the actual loss? He is only deceiving himself, and only he loses out himself. So the hypocrites thought they were deceiving Allah with their superficial testifying of faith, but in reality, they were deceiving themselves. They felt they were safe from losses, but in reality, in the Akhirah, in the hereafter, they are the losers. For them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي دَرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. In Akhirah, they will be in the lowest depths of Jahannam, where there is the most punishment. They are not benefiting themselves, but deceiving themselves big time. وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. But the problem is that they do not understand or even realize that they are deceiving themselves. They are harming themselves, and they don't even know it or conscious of it. This is very dangerous. In the munafiqeen are two categories. The first type, who were consciously munafiq, they were the spies who accepted Islam only to spy on Muslims and then would relate to Yahud and the disbelievers. They had hidden ties with them. So basically, they came to spy. They knew they recited the kalima and prayed with the Muslims. As today we have spies who go in areas of Muslims, go to masajid and pray with them. But they themselves know they are not Muslims and have only come to spy. This is a conscious munafiq. The second type is وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. The problem is that they didn't even know they were munafiq. These were in large numbers. The first ones were very few. Now the second group, they didn't even know they were munafiq because they thought to themselves that they were sincere and said, "We only wish to have good ties with everyone and no fighting with anyone. We want peace and we are only saying good." And these Muslims are the foolish ones. Don't they know who they are confronting? Saying this about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. The munafiq said about the Prophet and the Sahaba, "They have nothing with them and are prepared to fight with the tribes of Makkah. They are foolish and we are sincere." There are many who entered Islam not to trick people or pre-planned anything. They were only the conscious munafiq mentioned in the first. This group entered Islam sincerely, but had weakness in character. For them, losing dunya and its benefits was too much for them. They said, "We don't want to lose out on this world." When there was a tie and conflict between choosing dunya and akhirah, they would choose dunya, and they disregarded the akhirah. We will see what happens there. وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They did not even perceive. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed by Allah with names of certain munafiqeen. There were 14 whose hypocrisy the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew about. These had agreed before going to Ghazwat Tabuk that they would deceive the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ghazwa is a battle expedition in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would accompany himself. And so they plotted that they would go with the Prophet on this ghazwa and they would kill him. So at night time, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached a certain area, they scared off his camel and they were trying to attack the Prophet in the process. This was their plot to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already informed the Prophet about their plot beforehand and warned him about their plot and was informed each munafiq's name. They came with their faces covered, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called his companions and their evil plan was averted. The Sahaba had wished and asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to kill these traitors, but the Prophet refused. The reason was, he didn't want to be known as one who kills his own companions. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told his companion Huzaifa radiallahu anhu about the names of these traitors. So only Huzaifa radiallahu anhu knew the names. Umar radiallahu anhu, who had been given the glad tidings of Jannah, would come to Huzaifa and ask him, "Is my name on the list?" The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told Huzaifa not to inform anyone of their names, but Umar radiallahu anhu worried and asked Huzaifa whether his name was on the list or not. Why? This is because a true mu'min or a believer is always fearful, worried, and concerned about the state of his belief or faith.